Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine. The moment that changed my life. This is an episode or several episodes from a book. In their recent memoirs, these celebrities reveal personal and career events that transformed their lives. So let's start with actor William Shatner, 91. On his 2021 Blue Origin spaceflight, I had thought that going into space would be the ultimate catharsis of that connection I had been looking for between all living things, that being up there would be the next beautiful step to understanding the harmony of the universe. In the film Contact, when Jodie Foster's character goes to space and looks out into the heavens, she lets out an astonished whisper. They should have sent a poet. But when I finally arrived out there, the splendor was absent. The feeling wasn't the warmth or glow that required poetry to express it. It was ominous. It was the opposite of life. It was amongst the strongest feelings of grief I have ever encountered. It reinforced tenfold my own view on the power of our beautiful, mysterious, collective human entanglement, and eventually it returned a feeling of hope to my heart. In this insignificance we share, we have one gift that other species perhaps do not. We are aware, not only of our insignificance, but of the grandeur around us that makes us insignificant. That allows us, perhaps, a chance to rededicate ourselves to our planet, to each other, to life, and love all around us, if we seize that chance. Now, the next one is actor Ralph Macchio, 61, on his audition for his career-making role in The Karate Kid. The sound of a train whistle blared as a westbounder entered the Babylon station. It was audition day, and there I was in my white Tom Petty concert shirt and black members-only type jacket, stepping onto a Long Island Railroad train to New York City. I was on my way to meet one-on-one with the Oscar-winning director, John Avildsen, at his apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. As I rode uptown in my cab, I wondered if, maybe, word of my performance in The Outsiders had gotten me past the first round. That had to be right. That had to be it, right? Not so fast. Insert record scratch here. When I arrived, I found a hallway packed with teenagers of all shapes and sizes. I reset my ego, took a deep breath, and made my way toward the door at the end of the hall. When it was time to read the scene, I was feeling pretty good with the material, and the dialogue seemed to fit nicely in my mouth. In hindsight, it was probably another sign that this role was a good match. I just played it as naturally as I could, being honest with my reactions, allowing my East Coast cockiness to bleed through. Reread it only once. That was it. No adjustments, no notes. He lowered his reading glasses and said in an impressed, almost surprised tone, "Wow, you're a good actor." Now, that's never a bad thing to hear on the first date. A proud feeling of jittery excitement was building in my chest. Then he ended the meeting with, "I can't guarantee anything for certain, but if I were you, I would start taking some karate lessons." That got me up and out of the chair with a jolt. A pretty damn good sign, don't you think? Now, actress Jennifer Lewis, 65, on discovering at age 58 that her boyfriend was a con man. My boyfriend, Tony, and I had just walked in the door when I heard a horn blow outside. It was my friend Brenda who begged me to hop into the passenger seat. The night before, she had gone home, scrounged the internet like a black Nancy Drew, and discovered all of Tony's darkest secrets. She opened her laptop, She turned it to face me, and in big, bold letters, I saw a headline that read, California man sentenced to 2 years in prison for fraud. Directly under it, as clear as day, was a picture of Tony. Blank, blank, blank. No, 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 God, no. Nothing made sense, and yet everything finally made sense. All those times he stared at me in that sick haze, I mistook it for sweetness. I had to get this phony out of my home. After much internal back and forth, I leaked the story to TMZ. I wanted to warn other women. I took his ass to court, and he was sentenced to 8 years. And me? I lived happily ever after. And finally here, actor Paul Newman, 1925 to 2008, on starting a years-long affair with future wife Joanne Woodward. I was doing the Broadway play Picnic when, already married with a wife and child, I run into a sensational 23-year-old girl named Joanne, or Joan, who is understudying the play's female lead and some other parts. The play has a long dance scene that triggers the primary onstage romance. The kid, Newman, has no physical grace. So back in the wings, Joan, pearly of skin and sensitive to touch, teaches him how to dance. It was the introduction of Joan and her sexuality into my life. Joan gave birth to a sexual creature. She taught him. She encouraged him. She delighted in the experimental. My ethical self was overwhelmed by the discovery of much more powerful appetites. Betraying my marital vows to my wife Jackie seemed insignificant against that discovery. We left a trail of lust, hotels and motels and public parks and bathrooms and swimming pools and ocean beaches and rumble seats and Hertz rental cars. I don't know that Joan and I sat around questioning our morals. There was passion in what we had. Something had happened to us, and we had no idea where it was going. One day, I determined to commit to her, and the next day, faced with having to do it, I would find I couldn't bring myself to break away from Jackie. But then, each time there would be an evening of great passion and affection with Joan, I would change my mind again. My vacillation went on for years. Now, let's look at this from AARP, the Bulletin, Fraud Watch. The Art of Deceit. Scammers use these seven tactics to get between you and your sense of reason. Many people believe they are too smart to be taken in by a scam. But they miss the key point. Scammers mostly bypass your intellect and rely on sophisticated psychological and emotional manipulations to set you up to say yes. You don't have to be a fool to be fooled, says Robert Cialdini, author of Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. These people are using tactics and strategies that all of us are susceptible to. Specifically, he explains, they weaponize universal human instincts such as fear of loss, love, and trust in others. Here are some of the techniques. They establish camaraderie. So sorry to hear about the loss of your husband. You know, my own wife passed away last year as well. It's been hard. The trick. Scammers will parrot back the target's religion, political affiliation, military background, or life situation to get the target to feel, he's just like me. Cialdini notes, then we tend to lower our defenses and are much more likely to follow their lead. Or they play on your aversion to loss. You've won the sweepstakes. You are now rich. But if you don't ask fast, the trick. Many people have a deep-seated fear of missing out, FOMO, F-O-M-O, in internet jargon, on good opportunities, given how infrequently they appear. The criminal encourages that FOMO. They do it in terms of the uniqueness of the idea or the dwindling of availability of the product or service. This spooks people into choices. They flatter you. I can tell you know a lot about finance, so you know how much money you can make in cryptocurrency if you manage the risks. The trick. Usually, at the beginning, it's a lot of love bombing, says Anthony Pretkanis, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at the University of California, Santa Cruz. They'll frequently praise the victim. That lends itself to a sense of connection and trust. If this person likes me, well then, I can trust this person. Or they make you feel anxious. This malware means your bank account has been compromised. Someone could steal from it very easily now. The trick. We live in this age of anxiety where there are so many actual existential fears. AARP fraud expert Doug Shadell says, it's pretty easy to get people to say, all right, what do I have to do to make this one go away? They create instant terror. Grandpa, help! I've been arrested and need money for the bail right away. The trick. When you're afraid, the emotional part of your brain takes over the cognitive part of your brain. That's what they want. When your emotions kick in, it swamps out the logic. In such moments of powerful emotion, you are far more likely to think you hear a loved one's voice and fall for a scam. Or they seduce you. I love talking to you. I have not felt so close to someone in so long. The trick. In a romance scam, as in a real love relationship, you'll have reciprocating self-disclosures. I'll tell you a little about me. In return, you tell me a little about you. And as we go further down the path, we say more intimate things, and that creates a sense of closeness, even love. Or they intimidate you. I'm with the police. You've missed jury duty again. Either pay a $900 fine now or go to jail. The trick? They present themselves as a feared authority, say a cop, IRS officer, or Medicare rep. Technology makes it so easy now to pretend to be someone you're not. Criminals can program their caller ID so it says San Diego Sheriff's Office. And we have a sidebar article, How to Stay Rational When Scammers Rattle You. Monitor your reactions to calls from strangers. Do you feel heated? Is your pulse rising? Are you getting angry or anxious? If the answer is yes, get out of the situation immediately. Simply say, I won't do this by phone. Send a letter. Goodbye. Then hang up. Recenter yourself. Leave the room. Take 10 deep breaths and ask yourself questions that you know the answers to, such as, what color is grass? Look at the situation like a scientist, as though you're observing someone else in the same position. Never make an immediate impulse buying decision. Wait at least 24 hours to allow emotions to subside before making a purchase. And finally, get advice from a person you trust and respect. Merely discussing the situation out loud helps bring rationality back. Now let's go back to AARP, the magazine, and look at this Money Saver article, Money Habits to Break in 2023. Get off to a good start by stopping some common bad practices. You may not be able to do anything about big problems afflicting the economy and the stock market, but little changes to your everyday activities can help shore up your financial security. Consider the following six routines and why you should ditch them in 2023. The habit. Constantly checking your portfolio's value. During rocky times in the market, it's natural to want to know how your investments are holding up. But the more often you check, the wider you open the door to counterproductive emotions. Exuberance can fuel overconfidence and unwise risk-taking, while fear of loss can drive you to yank money out of stocks and miss out on future returns, says Chris Orestes, president of Retirement Genius, a financial planning website. Either way, you impair your portfolio's long-term growth potential. How to break? Keep in mind that short-term ups and downs are a package deal when you invest in stocks, but over time, the stock market has recovered from declines and resumed climbing. In the past 42 years through 2021, the S&P 500 had intra-year declines in every year, averaging negative 14%, with dips of 10% or more in 23 years, according to Fidelity. But the index ended in positive territory in 35 years, and the average annual return has been around 14%. The habit, downplaying the risk of cybercrime. You might think cyber theft will never happen to you, but the older you are, the more likely you are to be a target. Cyber criminals stole nearly $3 billion from people 50 and older in 2021, more than all other younger age groups combined, according to the FBI. The most common tactic is to entice people into providing personal data by phone or email, or into clicking on seemingly innocent links that let criminals access information on a target's computer. Paul Tracy, CEO of Innovative Technologies, a cybersecurity company, says scammers have been getting increasingly sophisticated. They commonly pose as employees of familiar companies and drop personal details about you that make them seem legitimate, such as your birthday or where you live, often easily found in an online search. How to break it? Anytime you get a request for an account number or personal information, or anytime you are invited to click on a link, you should be skeptical, says Tracy. Use different complex passwords for each of your sensitive accounts and change them quarterly. That way, if a password for one account is revealed in a security breach, hackers can't use it to access your other accounts. The habit, making minimum payments on your credit card. A fast way to eat up cash is to keep a large balance on your credit card. One major reason why, the average annualized interest rate on credit card debt was 18.9% in early October, reports Bankrate. Let's say an issuer makes carrying a balance easy by setting a minimum payment of just 1% of the balance, or $25, whichever is larger. If you rack up $1,000 in charges in a month and then pay only the minimum, you would need more than 9 years and pay nearly $2,000 to close out the balance. Credit card debt surged 13% over the year, ending in the second quarter of 2022, the largest annual hike in at least two decades, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. How to break this habit? Get tactical to erase your high interest debt. Transfer your balance to a zero interest card, says Ted Rossman, a senior industry analyst at Bankrate. This autumn, he notes, Wells Fargo, Reflex, Visa and Citi Diamond Preferred MasterCard were offering zero interest for 18 and 21 months, respectively. If you don't qualify for zero interest, you can call your credit card company and ask for a lower interest rate. Some credit card companies will work with you. Alternately, debt counseling nonprofits that are members of the Financial Counseling Association of America, FCAA.org, or the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org, can help set up a debt management plan for you. Paying off a card with an 18% interest rate is like getting a guaranteed risk-free, tax-free return. Rossman says, you are not going to get that on your investments. Habit, procrastinating on your taxes. Racing to prepare your tax return to meet the April 15th filing deadline can cause errors and even trigger IRS scrutiny and delay a refund, potentially by months. The IRS is working its way through millions of unprocessed tax returns, a backlog that is caused in part by tax law changes during the 2021 filing season. Error-free tax returns filed electronically and on time are often processed more quickly than paper returns, says Janet Holzblatt, a senior fellow at the Urban Institute and Brookings Institution Tax Policy Center. But returns with math errors, there was an upsurge of them in 2021, are often set aside to await review. How to break this? Get started as early as February 1st. By then, you should have received the tax documents you need, such as a Form W-2 from your employer or Form 1098 from your mortgage lender. This will give you time to avoid errors and learn how to file electronically if you've never done so before. If you file electronically and opt for direct deposit, any refund should land in your bank account within several weeks. For help with tax preparation or filing electronically, turn to the free AARP Foundation Tax Aid Service at aarp.org/taxaid. The habit, putting expenses on autopilot. When was the last time you shopped for a cheaper auto or home insurance, or canceled subscriptions and memberships you don't use, or simply combed through your monthly expenses to identify charges you can eliminate? You could be needlessly spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars every year, says Jason Noble, a financial advisor at Prime Capital Investment Advisors in Charleston, South Carolina. How to beat it? Noble recommends you call your insurers every year or two for a full diagnosis of your policies. You can save on some auto policies by designating your car for non-commuter use, signing up for auto pay, going paperless, or dropping your policy's roadside assistance if you're a member of AAA. On a quarterly basis, advises Noble, sit down with your bank and credit card statements, putting an E next to all of your essential expenses and a D next to the discretionary ones. Review those with a D for discretionary, he said. Can you eliminate those or whittle them down? And finally, the habit, postponing joy. After working and saving diligently for decades, many people find it hard to turn off the scrimp and save mentality, says Freddie Rapina, founder of Opta Financial, a Fairfax, Virginia advisory firm. I ask them, what are you waiting for? How to break it? Review your bucket list and choose a few realistic goals. An island getaway? An Alaska cruise? As long as your income needs are covered and you have an emergency fund, aim to build your dreams into your short-term financial plan, Rapina says. This is your time to live the life you want. Now, I have a couple of articles that I've been saving to share with you. This first one was from the News and Observer on January 24th. Who pays for your rewards? Indebted cardholders, paper fines. Credit cards with rewards are rewarding only for those who know how to profit from the system, according to a paper released by the Federal Reserve. Consumers with higher credit scores benefit the most because they tend to spend more money, thus earning more rewards such as cash back or miles, and they pay on time, according to the study. Cardholders with lower credit scores overspend to try to earn more points and incur higher interest payments stemming from outstanding balances. In all, the economists estimate that about $15.1 billion is transferred annually from less to more educated, poorer to richer, and from areas with a higher percentage of minorities to whiter ones. The results aren't so much driven by income as by the level of financial sophistication, they say. Credit card rewards are often framed as a reverse Robin Hood mechanism in which the poor subsidize the rich, wrote the researchers. Our results, however, show that this explanation is at best incomplete. Reward cards are highly popular in the U.S., accounting for 60% of all new cards in 2019, according to the paper. And financial firms typically offer lower interest rates than on cards without rewards to lure customers. Banks profit from reward cards across all credit scores, the researchers found, but they benefit the most from near-prime and prime cardholders, those with fair or good quality financial situations, according to the paper. With low credit score customers, banks mostly generate revenue from interest payments. Reward cards induce sub and near prime consumers to overspend and consequently overborrow on their credit cards compared with those who use cards without rewards, the researcher said. Now from AARP, the bulletin, let's look at another modern problem and its solution, or maybe two. Just taste it. The problem. No one in my house wants to eat quinoa, squash, kale, or other healthy foods. First, just start roasting vegetables in a 400-degree oven with some sea salt, your favorite spices, and olive oil to bring out the natural sugars and crispy textures. Pretty much any vegetable that's not leafy will work. Then stick them on your family's dinner plates or on the table. In time, they'll get in the habit of eating them. I'm also a fan of sneaky vegetables. Mix in chopped mushrooms next time you're cooking with ground meat, or blend soft or cooked vegetables into sauces or soups, and include fresh milk on the table at meals. Include fresh fruit on the table at meals. Who doesn't want a slice of watermelon? Pasta conundrum. My spouse uses only gluten-free products at home because it's just healthier. True? No. If you have celiac disease or non-celiac gluten sensitivity, or you feel unwell when you consume gluten-containing foods, then going gluten-free makes sense. About 6% of the U.S. population has a gluten sensitivity, with about 1% having celiac disease. But if that's not you, then going gluten-free isn't healthier. Many gluten-free foods like crackers, pasta, cereals, and baked goods are made from corn, rice, or tapioca starches that have very little fiber and are often lacking in nutrients. That said, eating fewer carbs that contain gluten is often a sensible health plan. The best way is to focus on foods like fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, beans, low-fat dairy, and lean proteins. Gluten-free whole grains like certified gluten-free oats, sorghum, teff, quinoa, arrowmint, or black rice are healthy too. And if you experience abdominal problems, see a doctor. No one should self-diagnose a gluten allergy. Well, folks, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that number, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.